Fine. So we were dealing with the Chiddush, the Chayyadem quote from, again, I cannot promise you I am pronouncing his name correctly, but from Rev Avli, I think it's Pastev Lear, I think, something like that. Okay, I'm not totally sure. But let's go back to it. Okay, good. So what was his Chiddush, right? We read it quickly yesterday, but let's come back to it. What was his Chiddush? What was his position? What's the halacha? No lumdus yet. Just what is the fact? What are the facts? What did he say? If on Rosh Hashanah night, you do what? You don't have to say, right? Right? If you forget Amelech HaKadosh on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, then you do not have to go back and say why. What's the argument that he offers? Rosh Hashanah is like Rosh Chodesh. On Rosh Chodesh, you don't repeat Yalav V'Yavo if you forget it at night. And therefore... Very good. Right? And as we said, right, the first glance... His fundamental... I always have a cough, by the way. Just no. In case you're, like, scared. You just got to be doing it. I'm, like, triple vaccinated and, like, you know, have barely been out at all. But it gets worse when I haven't slept, and the third vaccine made it that I was, like, sick for 4 days. So. So coming back to the question we had yesterday, which is to what extent is Rosh Hashanah defined as Rosh Chodesh plus, right, or a Yom Tov fundamentally, which he comes down pretty hard on the side of saying, right, the simple part of what he says is that it is, right, Rosh Hashanah is essentially Rosh Chodesh plus, right, and the equivalent of not repeating Shmoneh Esrei after forgetting Yalav V'Yavo on Rosh Chodesh night is not repeating Shmoneh Esrei, the Amidah, it's obviously not even close to Shmoneh Esrei, it's seven brachot, on the first night of Rosh Hashanah if you forget HaMelech HaKadosh, right? Because you might not, right? It might not be Rosh Hashanah. Now, even though this is, you know, a position that was raised not so long ago, right? It's raised, right? Quoted here in the Chayei Adam, Biotai, who remembered my rule that I'm always going to ask you, who wrote the books that we're looking at? Who remembered? Who is the Chayei Adam? Very good. Look, without looking it up, very good. Yes, Rambam Danzig, very good. Yes, he is like the Posek of... He's the Posek in Vilna. He's the Posek in... Yeah. He's like, yeah, he's a Lithuanian, right, Litvish Posek, right? Very good. There you go. She said, didn't even have to look it up. What? Rav Avram Danzig. Danzig, yeah. good. I don't know anything about Rav Avram Passive Lore. I think this is the only psak we have of him. I mean, he probably wrote other things, but this is what we have. It could be. I literally have no idea. I have no idea. Pesfelir, I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe, I don't know. I'm definitely pronouncing it wrong. I'm saying, you can see in the Shaar HaTzion, he quotes it in, right, more Yiddish spelling, right, with all the extra ayins, right? I mean, you can see, right? Pei am aleph samach vav vav ayin lamed ayin resh, right? It's, you know, just Yiddish spelling. It's like reading any tshuva in Ramosha where he takes English words and spells it with Yiddish spelling. It's impossible, right? There's like 300 ayins in it, like refrigerator. He writes like that, right? Resh, ayin, pei, resh, ayin. I mean, it's like, it's impossible to know what that word says. Yiddish, I don't know Yiddish. I'm sorry, it's chata ayin imaskir ayom. I do not know Yiddish. Like, if I need to know Yiddish, I ask, like, people know Yiddish. My mother, like, knows Yiddish. My brother knows, like, the yeshivish Yiddish he learned in the Mir, right? So I can, you know, figure out from that. If I have questions in Judeo-Arabic, I ask your father, right? I have done that before, but I don't have many people in my life who are fluent in Judeo-Arabic, so having your father on call for that is always helpful. The cats sometimes tear each other apart. It's very... Yeah, I know. No, those were cats killing each other. yeah, I think. Okay, good. So, many of the Achronim had a problem with it, and some of them supported it. So what I want to do is look at some of these positions and try to see what it tells us about the nature of Rosh Hashanah. And as we'll see, some people think it's not about the nature of Rosh Hashanah at all, but it's, the question is really focused on something else. So the first source we can look at is the Shaar HaTzion. So, since apparently no one knew who this was, let's do our basic idea of Kol Yod of the day, right? This is a Mishnah Berurah. Okay, very good. What is a Mishnah Berurah? Who wrote the Mishnah Berurah? Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan, better known by a different name, which is Chavetz Chaim, right? For his work, which was entitled Chavetz Chaim. There you go. Very good. Right, that was the book he came to be known by, which is his one of his books on Lashon Hara, not the only one. His other is Hilchos Shemir, is Sefer Shemir Halasha. When did he live? Mostly true. No, that is wrong. So good. Okay, people think that the Mishnah Berurah is like this ancient book of like of it's like one of those classics from like a million years ago. It is not. I mean, it's a very important book, but it is very modern. He died in the mid 1930s. Okay, and I tell this to all my guys. If you want to understand how recent the Mishnah Berurah is, realize that he has an obituary in the New York Times that you can look up online. This is not a million years ago, okay? He's late 19th century, early 20th century. He dies in the 1930s, okay? He's not an ancient botek, right? He only became, like, super popular, like, 1970s and on, okay? Like, Rev Henkin Sr., right? Rav Yosef Elio Henkin, who was like the major posek in America in the 40s and 50s before Moshe, right? Says in no uncertain terms that if there is a machloket between the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan, you always paskin like the Aruch HaShulchan, okay? He has three reasons, okay? He argues that because the Aruch HaShulchan wrote an oral of Shulchan Aruch, whereas the Mishnah Berurah only wrote an Aruch Hayim, right? That's one. The second one, he argues that the Aruch HaShulchan cares about minhag more, so he actually reflects on the common practice. The two of those, I guess, the first one is objective. The second one is pretty objective. The third one, he just says, the Aruch HaShulchan was smarter. I have no way of weighing in on that statement. I don't know what to tell you, right? But by the 70s, I think, from what I gather, the Mishnah Berurah became more prominent in the Aruch HaShulchan, but this is a relatively recent phenomenon as things go in the history of Pesach. That doesn't mean it's not very important, but we're talking a modern book, right? So, like, you know, when people say things like, oh, yeah, it's in the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Berurah, it's like as if they lived at the same time. No, there were hundreds of years between them, right? The Magen Avraham is the late, right, is the early 17th, like late 16th, early 17th century. You're talking like, you know, right? The Mishnah Berurah is, you know, post-World War I, right? The Magen Avraham is like, you know, 150 years before they, you know, before America became a country, you know? Like, you know, there's a difference between those, right? If you want to time things, like when we talk about the Vilna Gaon, right, just like, you know, I know, like, we have this weird thing that, like, we sort of know history, but then Jewish history is, like, mythical, right? So, like, we don't actually place it in actual history. So, like, if you want to, you have to struggle. So, like, the Gra is a contemporary of George Washington, okay? That's what we're talking historically, okay? That's fine? Right, this is all helpful, right? Okay, fine. In the Mishnah Berurah, right, so at the top you have Shulchan Aruch. Right? You just have the text of Shulchan Aruch, right? Rabbi Yosef Karo and Rav Moshe Isserles in his comments on Agav. Mishnah Berurah himself writes three commentaries on this page, right? The Mishnah Berurah, which is basically a summary of the hundreds of years of Pesach from the writing of Shulchan Aruch until his time. So more or less from, right, the end of, let's say, the 16th century, right, to, let's say, the mid-19th, early 20th, probably mid-19th century, okay? right? That's Mishnah Berurah. Ber Halacha is his analysis of Sugyot, often his own analysis, right? Not just what other poskim have said, but his treatment of the Sugya. His footnotes, which usually just provide sources, but once in a while have their own analysis, is the Shar Ha, not Siyun, but Siyun, it's a pun, okay? It's a pun, right? Shar Siyun is obviously a gate, right, in Yerushalayim, right? Shar Siyun means the footnote. Siyun is a note, is a reference, right? Shar Siyun is just where the references are, okay? It's a pun. Fine? Exactly. Right? Fine. So the Shah in the Shar HaTziyun, right, he quotes this. He quotes the Chai Adam, who quotes Reb Aveli Pasevlir, I have no idea. I really don't know. Pasevlir, something like that. Right? Good. He quotes him, and then what does he say? Let's start. Facts. Does he agree?
No.
No. Very much does not agree. He very much does not agree. He says, if you forget a Melech HaKadosh on the first night of Rosh Hashanah, do you have to repeat Shmona Esrei? The Chayadam. What Mishnah Berurah says, yes, you must repeat Shmona Esrei. Good. Why? That's the fact on the table. What does he say? Why? He says, Anios Da'ati Lo Nihira. Right? According to my, right, you have to, it's one of those things you got to get used to, right, rabbinic phrases like that, in my humble opinion, la'aniyot da'ati lo nihira, right? Why not? Why doesn't he like it? What does he say? Third line. So what does he say? Dezeh hayash tayach, who wants to read it? Good. Meaning what? That would make sense if
if
you were davening a weekday davening,
yeah.
Right? Right, but you're davening a Yom Tov davening, and therefore, what's the Man of Shach? Either way. Right. Either way, you don't fulfill your obligation. Why not?
Because if it's a call, then you're starting the wrong.
Yeah. He says, listen. If on a normal, right? Today is Tuesday. This Tuesday.
Yeah.
Today Tuesday.
Okay. Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm surprised you know that, right? What? Ah, right. Mitzad echad, you've been waiting for it. On the other hand, you've been in like bidud, which totally messes up your sense of time. But okay, fine. So it's a normal Tuesday morning, and you guys are so tired after a week in bidud, and you're still jet lagged, apparently. Not talking about anyone in particular, right? So you're so tired that you start davening Shabbos davening. Okay? Right? I've done worse on Shavuos, right? You know, I remember one Shavuos when I was much younger, you know, accidentally, like, saying Kiddush instead of Shmona Esrei. You know, like, these things happen. You know, it happens. You can get to levels of exhaustion like that. Or basically any day when I was in Yeshiva. But fine. You're so tired you start davening Shabbos davening. Does that count? Does that work? No. No. So Mishnah Berurah is a very simple argument. He says, listen, this person had Rosh Hashanah. If it is Rosh Chodesh, it is also Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, you will daven, Yom Tov davening, with HaMelech HaKadosh. If it is not Rosh Chodesh, then it is also not Rosh Hashanah, then it is also not Yom Tov. And therefore, what should you be davening? A normal davening. And therefore, there are only two possibilities. You should either be saying Hakel HaKadosh and 13 brachot in the middle, or HaMelech HaKadosh and one bracha in the middle, right? That's it. There is no eventuality in which you should daven a Yom Tov davening and Hakel HaKadosh. right? It is not Pesach, right? It is either the 30th day of Elul and a weekday, or it is the first day of Tishrei and a holiday, right? But it is not a holiday which is not Rosh Hashanah, right? And therefore, saying Hakel HaKadosh in a Yom Tov davening is completely and totally incoherent. And therefore, you have to repeat Shemona Esrei, for either because you were supposed to say Hakel HaKadosh and you didn't, or because you were supposed to daven a weekday davening and you didn't. Right? Good. Now, what's hiding in his argument? Right? Now that, right, there's something implied in his argument, because, you know, you might get lost and say, ah, he's saying that it's a Mamon of Shach. It's not really a Mamon of Shach. What is he really saying? He's telling you, either way you go, you should repeat davening. But what is he really saying? Yeah, right, meaning it's really a reductio ad absurdum, right? Right? If you really think that it's not Yom Tov, right, because it's not Rosh Chodesh, then it's not, if you really think it's not Aleph Tishrei, then you think it's Chol, right? But you don't think that because you don't think someone can get away with saying a weekday davening, right? You think they're supposed to say a Yom Tov davening. And therefore, what you really think is, it's Rosh Hashanah. And if you think it's Rosh Hashanah, then you daven Yom Tov davening with HaMelech HaKadosh. Because in the end of the day, what, right? It's hard to tell from the Mishnah Berurah to prove, right, just from that line, whether he weighs in on the question of whether Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh plus, right, or Yom Tov. But it does seem to be that, yeah, it does, I can't prove it, because maybe he really just means Maman of Shach, right? Maybe he's just saying, like, I don't know if it's Chag, but it's either Chag or, right, but it sounds like, what is he really doing? He's using reductio ad absurdum to say, listen, at the end of the day, if you're davening Yom Tov, right, you're davening Yom Tov davening, which means that how are you treating this? As Yom Tov. And Rosh Hashanah is Yom Tov. Right? And he's drawing attention to the fact that you're right. From a Rosh Chodesh perspective, if Rosh Hashanah was just Rosh Chodesh, you might have a suffix. Right? But you don't have the same suffix by Rosh Hashanah because the question isn't between Rosh Chodesh and non-Rosh Chodesh. It's between Chodesh and Chol. Right? So it sounds very much like on balance, the way he's presenting it is that Reb Aveli Pesav Lir, whatever, the position quoted in the Chayadam, right, is entertaining the possibility that Rosh Hashanah is really just Rosh Chodesh plus, and therefore you can just apply the standards of Rosh Chodesh. And he's saying you can't because Rosh Hashanah is fundamentally defined as a Yom Tov. Right? That's really what's going on. Right? And once you look at it as a Yom Tov, that this entire analysis falls apart. Right? That seems to be their machloket. What's his proof? Right? What's his proof? I mean, that's for sure. I mean, that's what emerges from it. Right? But what proof does he offer? Right? First, he tries to defend the position called the Chayav. He says, "Ulai dehu ma'irish niskar tekev shesiyem akel hakadosh, so lasher kidei dibor lididei tarach lesayim b'shel chol." He says, maybe he's talking about where you remember right after you said Hakel HaKadosh, and maybe you do have to be Messiah, right? Maybe you would have to actually finish the davening as a weekday davening, right? Maybe he really buys that, right? He's like, I don't know, right? But what's his proof? Right, Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, he says, Rabbeinu Yonah mistapek efshar diyot b'shel chol b'diavad. Right, he says, we saw it yesterday. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah actually entertained the possibility that you could daven in complete whole davening. Right? He said, okay. He's like, maybe you could say, okay, Rabbeinu Yonah had a stuff fake. That maybe it's whole, maybe it's Kodesh. But what he's saying is that in the end of the day, Rabbeinu Yonah implies something. Because what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? The suffix is, right, he's saying, even though it's true, Rabbeinu Yonah had a suffix, whether you can be yotze with chol davening, right? That's b'diavad, right? But no one ever said that, l'chatchila, you should do that. Everyone says that if you remember, what should you do? Daven yom tov davening, which means, if even within his suffix, what is Rabbeinu Yonah assuming? That it's really Yom Tov. Right? That the fundamental idea, it could be that because we don't know, so maybe it's suffix Yom Tov. Right? But to say that you could get away with saying Hakel HaKadosh is saying that, like, you're declaring that this is suffix Rosh Hashanah, but that's not really true, because at the end of the day, the ideal is still to daven Yom Tov davening, and if you're declaring it's Yom Tov by davening Yom Tov davening, then Hamel HaKadosh comes with that. Right? But to say a Yom Tov davening without Hamel HaKadosh, right, you think Rabbeinu Yonah never went in that direction, right, because Rabbeinu Yonah, but again, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying, admittedly, I don't know today is Rosh Hashanah. But if you're treating it as Rosh Hashanah, then you have to say Hamel HaKadosh. This Chiddush, that somehow it can be Yom Tov without Hamel HaKadosh, no one ever said that, right? So, well, according to Mr. Brewer, you... Good. So according to Mr. Brewer, you obviously do repeat it, because on balance, we treat it as Yom Tov, right? And therefore, if it's Yom Tov, then it's also Rosh Hashanah. Right? And it's also Rosh Chodesh. It's all those things together, and therefore you say Hamel HaKadosh, Yom Tov Davening, that's your only option. That's the Mishnah Berurah. Right? The Chayadam, Rabbeinu Yonah, as the Mishnah Berurah understands him, is like this. Look, you have a suffix. Either today is Yom Tov, or it's Chol. Right? So, it could be that maybe you could even get away with Yom Tov Davening. Right? Or you say no. Even though it's a suffix that it might really still be chol, the fact that we treat it as Yom Tov means you have to treat it as Yom Tov with all that entails. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. The Chayadam's position, which is what the Mishnah Berurah challenges, is saying maybe you'll say it's Yom Tov, but not Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's essentially what the Mishnah Berurah says the problem is. By saying that you have to daven Yom Tov davening, but you don't have to say Hamel HaKadosh, that's incoherent. He's like, if you want to paskin, like the one position of Rabbeinu Yonah, that if you forget to daven chol at all in Rosh Hashanah, you just daven a normal weekday Shmona Esrei, and that's okay. So that at least conceptually makes sense. Because maybe it's not Yom Tov, because maybe we weren't Mekadosh L'Chodesh, and if it's not Mekadosh L'Chodesh, it's also not Rosh Hashanah. That at least is coherent. But to say that it's Yom Tov, but you don't say Hamel HaKadosh, that's not true, because what Yom Tov is it? Right? It's Pesach, I mean, right? What is it? Right? Okay. But in the end of the day, the thrust of the Mishnah Berurah is that the problem here is the lack of recognition. In the end of the day, it is Yom Tov, right? And the Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah, by definition, entails Hamel HaKadosh, right? It can't be Yom Tov without it, right? That's really his problem. Okay. Beis HaLevi has a different critique. Okay? Beis HaLevi takes it from a different angle. So, who's the Beis HaLevi? His name is quite famous. It has been repeated in all his, many of his descendants who were also famous. His last name was Soloveitchik. His first name is what? He's Reb Chaim Soloveitchik's father. His first name is? Yes, there you go. Just like his great-grandson. Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. Right? There are a lot of those. Right? They're all named for the Beis HaLevi. Right? The Beis HaLevi. Right? So, Beis HaLevi's son is Chaim Soloveitchik. Right? Right? His two famous sons. Right? Ramosha Soloveitchik, which is the father of the, like, YU Soloveitchik. Right? And Rav Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik, or the Brisker Rav, who's the father of the non-wise Soloveitchiks, right? Like the ones who run all the yeshiva, all the Brisker, right, all the yeshiva Brisk in Israel, those are all descendants of that side of family, right? And all of them, the family, like, repeats the names. So last year we had it, for the last 2 years, we had a Yosef Soloveitchik in the yeshiva, right? Which was intimidating. We had a guest speaker, and like, you know, it's like, what's your name? Yosef Soloveitchik. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, that's slightly intimidating, but fine.
It's a bit of a name to look up, yeah.
Yes, it is. So, Beis HaLevi is the, right, is the beginning of that chain. So in his tshuvot, right, and obviously he's son-in-law with Ziv, right, that's all for you to Berlin, right? Okay, fine. So what does the Beis Halevi say? He quotes the position of the Chayyadam. And then what does he say? Second line, da. Right, da is, right, what does da mean? No, but what does it function as when you see it in a sefer? Yes, it's like stop and pay attention, right? You should know this. What does he say? Disvarazo lo shayach ele bitbalel tfilah shel chol legam. Right, he says again, this makes no sense unless you are davening a weekday davening. Aval bitbalel shel Rosh Hashanah v'lo amar alech hakadosh v'adai v'chozer delo shayach tvarazo. That this, again, like the Mishnah Berurah, this is nonsense unless you're willing to go as far as the Ben Yonah and say you can daven a chol davening. Right? But again, if you're treating it as Yom Tov, then it is the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. Right? Imkain, Hayalolid, Baal Shel Chol, Vayner Ben Yonah, again, right? So the Mishnah Berurah is really building in many ways in the Beis HaLevi. Right? What's common to both of them is that in the end of the day, right? Do they view Rosh Hashanah in any way as Rosh Chodesh Plus? No. It's Yom Tov. Either it might not be Yom Tov, but if it's not Yom Tov, the alternative is a full Chol. Right? Right? But there's none of this, like, but the possibility that, like, on Rosh Chodesh, you would have a time where ideally you should say it, but if you don't, it's okay. There's, like, that doesn't make sense. Because the main identity of the day is Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov, there is no such thing. Right? Right, there's no such thing. Everything that's required in davening and Yom Tov is required, right? Forget Yom Tov, right? A very common mistake, right, that people make, and they shouldn't make, but they make it, which is, right? Everyone knows, if you forget, like, if you forgot Yalav Yavo somehow in Yom Tov davening, everyone knows you'd go back, right? That I think everyone sort of intuits, right? If you missed part of davening, right? No one does that, right? They're davening from a master. They don't know they're davening by heart, right? Most people don't know Yom Tov davening by heart, right? We don't say it that often. Right? But many people, right, will forget Yalav Yavo on Chol Moed. Right? Right? Chol Moed, you're davening a Chol davening just with the Yalav Yavo. And many people, I know, will say, oh, I forgot Yalav Yavo at night on Chol Moed. I don't have to repeat Shmon Esrei, right? And the answer is, no. Right? No. If you forget Yalav Yavo at night on Chol Moed, you repeat Shmon Esrei. This is a unique halacha only in Rosh Chodesh. Right? It's only Rosh Chodesh that has this bizarre, right, hybrid, which is that l'chatchila, you should say it, b'di'eved, you don't have to. Right? Right? That's the only time we have this hybrid. But nothing that is shayach to Yom Tov, even Chol HaMoed, has such a hybrid. Right? It's all or nothing. Right? Either it's Chol, right, or it's Moed. And if it's Moed, if it's Yom Tov, and then everything that comes with it, you have to say. Okay? Good. So what we have is, as we left off yesterday, right, a seeming machlokes in terms of whether it is plausible to look at Rosh Hashanah as essentially a Rosh Chodesh plus, right, or do we look at it only from the vantage point of Yom Tov? Right? Mishnah Berurah, Beit HaLevi fall very much on that side, and the Chayyadam falls on the other. Okay? And not much. I mean, he's probably an earlier source, right? I was like, why did I put him? No, not because he has a different svara. Because he's the original, right? Right, okay, fine. On the other hand, many achronim try to defend the Chayyadam. So, for example, the Binyan Shlomo tries to defend him. Who's the Binyan Shlomo? Look it up. What? Good. Who? Look it up. Honestly, I don't know. One of you can make yourself the last year we had one person who really liked doing the bio stuff. He became the designated person. That was his thing. He liked it. Which was good. And then by the end of the year, morning, Rabbi Wasserman. How you doing?
Good morning.
What? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
1820, 1905.
Good. 1820. There we go. So still Vilna, right? Everyone in Vilna. Everyone in Vilna is dealing with this. Makes sense, right? They're all dealing with this. Good. So what does he say? He defends it. One of Rai Wasserman's many talents is that he is our photographer. Fantastic. What? Yeah. Good. So what does he say? Yes. So he says, first of all, near el didivrei. Now, right? What is lamed ayin nun dalid? Yes. Good. Li aniyo d'ati. Right? We already saw it. In my humble opinion, which, by the way, as one of my rebbeim once pointed out, and he's right, the fiat niyadati is just a rabbinic way of saying, I have a chiddush, right? In my humble opinion is a way of saying, I have something novel to say. Right? You just preface it with, right? Right? It's always going to come that way, right? It's never like, liyaniyadati, in my humble opinion, well, I'm not sure what the answer is. No, in my humble opinion, that's wrong, right? That person who preceded me and is very great is wrong, in my humble opinion, right? Yes, exactly. I don't need to brag. It's like, no offense, right? But, right? It's always the but, right? Lafia not, right? And then there are ones which are more than this, right? Like, Neophilodati is fine. Lule de Mistafina is wonderful, right? If you ever see Lule de Mistafina, right? What does Lule de Mistafina mean? It's a great phrase. Lule de Mistafina is, if I weren't afraid to say the following Kiddush, I would say it, which is, I'm not really saying this. Right? If I wasn't afraid to say this, I would say this, which means you're in for a wild chiddush, right? It's so wild that he's afraid to say it. He's not really saying it. Ignore it. It's not really happening. What?
Don't quote me on this.
Yes, it's not happening, right? I am not currently saying this. Oh, yeah, no, then there's just the rabbinic insults. They say a lot of things. I have collections of these, right? Well, yes, there is that, which is ein lo moach. That's a Talmudic one already. Ein lo moach v'kad kado, which is he has no brain in his skull. Yes, that's already in the Gemara. That's not even later, right? Later ones are like, they get poetic, right? Yeah. What? A minute. There are pages. Some of my favorite posts came of the Middle Ages were like, I don't know why the Rivash has these places. See, I remember once it took me 20 minutes to just get through the poetic insults at the beginning of the Tshuva. It like he just I don't know why he was so angry, but like he literally in rhyme, like he wrote this unbelievable. It's unbelievably long insult. You understand? Rabbinic things get really heated. Unbelievable. I mean, some of the best, and there are certain people who are just good. Rivash was good. Maral Bach is like, I don't know why, but he was like incredibly vicious. Right? Incredibly vicious. What? So, I mean, he's famous for the You know the 15th century Smicha controversy? Basically, there was an attempt to bring back Smicha. The Rambam has this line where the Rambam suggests that if all the rabbis of Eretz Yisrael would get together, they could recreate Smicha, like the original Smicha, right, and grant it to someone. So in the 15th century, they tried to do this in Tzfat. But they made the mistake of not first asking the rabbis of Yerushalayim, which led to a very, very heated machloket. You don't, right? When I say heated machloket, I don't mean they were yelling at each other. Like, they literally told on each other to the government to the point where some of them were kicked out of the country for sedition. Like, it was a really heated machloket, right? So Maral Bach is one of the two rabbis in Yerushalayim which was involved in this machloket against the Maribei Rav in Tzfat, right? So he writes, I once took his tshuva and just copied it from Bar Ilan onto a Word document in single space to see how long it was. It was 101 pages long, right? Or something like that. It's a very long tshuva. But at some point, he has this wonderful insult where the Maribir Rav is a chiddush that you can grant, in order to grant smicha, you need a bezdin of three, of which only one of them has smicha, right? So you don't need a bezdin of musmachim, you need a bezdin which has a musmach on it, right? So this was just like fodder for the Maribir, where he's like, aha, I see. So you have three minds, which are really one. What religion exactly are we talking about here, right? It's a very wonderful, very poetically, yeah, he's very good. He's very good. Maribir is very good. But then when I was learning Trumot, he had this back and forth with someone where each tshuva got harsher, right? And like, eventually, the person who wrote back to Maribir one-upped him in insults, and like with clearly better insults, and that's when you saw that Maribir was like, you know what, you might be right, right? It was like, it's a lot of fun. It's like a dominant game. I'm not really sure. It's like, it was part of the, I don't know. Anyway, yeah, so you do find this. It's fun. But of course, they never insulted each other. It never happened. It never happened. The Chavad Yair has a tshuva in which he says, no, the rabbis never insulted each other. So in order to prove that to you, he makes a very helpful collection of every insult in all of Shas, and then says, and this is why that's not an insult, and this is why that's not an insult, and this is why that's not an insult. Now, it's not very compelling, but in the meantime, he collected for you all the best insults in all of Shas. So the Chafetz Chaim reprinted this tshuva in Chafetz Chaim to prove to you that the rabbis never insulted each other, but all he really did was collect all the insults in his book about it. It's just one of those things. But he does things like, right, like insults, like he was sleeping when he said that, right? He is like, no, that's not an insult, it's a compliment. It means that he was sleeping when he said it, because if he was awake, he never would have said something like that. I don't think that's what that means. Anyways, so this... Yeah. And sometimes you say good things in your sleep. I don't know. I'm sure at least when I was in Rambam, right, they used to tell us that, like, you should know this Svara good, you know, well enough that if someone woke you up in the middle of the night, like, you would know it. Once, Rabbi Friedman told me that. Rabbi Friedman was like, you have to, this is so important. This Nikuda Nifla'a is so important that I want you to internalize it so that if someone wakes you up and you are asleep, you will be able to answer. So I did. I internalized it. And, like, 10 years later, when I was in YU, I fell asleep during shir in Rosenzweig, and Rosenzweig called on me and asked me what the Nikuda Nifla'a was, and in my sleep, I said it, and I'm sure he thought that he was catching me and waking me up by asking me a question, but he couldn't catch me because Rabbi Friedman had told me when I was in high school that one day someone was going to wake me up and ask me. I don't know if I could have done it on anything else, but that... It was like I shook out of my sleep, and I'm like, oh, I can do this. This I can do, even in my sleep. Fun times. Fun times. So what does the Binyan Shlomo say? He says, Divrei Hagon Moreno Rav Aveli, Shirin V'Kayamin U'Mi'irin Kashemesh T'Zahorai. Right, that's quite the defense. Right, which is, what does that mean? Right, they're strong and established. Right, Shirin V'Kayamin. Yes, they shine, not just like which sun? The noon sun, Shemesh, but the Horayim, right, at the high noon sun. Yes. V'eino inyan klal le Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah. This has nothing to do with Rabbeinu Yonah, who says that, right, who in the end of the day seems to say that you should daven Yom Tov davening, right? Chol or Yom Tov, but Yom Tov. He says, nothing to do with that. Why? So he comes up with a wild kiddush. Right, because remember, what does he have to defend? The Mishnah Berura, the Beis Halevi, say, listen, it can't be. This is nonsense. Either it's Yom Tov or it's Chol. If it's Chol, daven Chol. If it's Yom Tov, daven HaMelech HaGadosh. But there's no way you should say Yom Tov davening with...
Oh.
What?
What?
Yeah, exactly. Right? So he comes up with a wild kiddush, and he says, you're wrong, because everyone has been assuming that HaMelech HaKadosh is a din in... What? No. See, he should have surprised you with it, right? That, you know, it's supposed to, like, shake you awake, right? When we know it's coming, it's not the same. But if you don't know it's coming and someone blows a shofar in your ear, right, it might... What? Yeah, exactly. What? Yes, but here was an opportunity. He was going to blow the shofar, and you didn't know. How often do you get that opportunity? Right? Yeah, exactly. My wife said when she was growing up, my father-in-law is a Baal Tokeah, so instead of an alarm clock for all of Elul, he would just come into the room and blow shofar. Like, and he says, listen, you got it wrong. Hamelech HaKadosh is not a din in Chag. It's not a din in Yom Tov. That's your problem. The reason that you think that you can't have Yom Tov davening without Hamelech HaKadosh is because you misunderstand it. Hamelech HaKadosh is a din in what? What does he say? What? Aseret Yemei Tshuva. It's a din in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Yadua Mishum Devi Mei Din Mishpat, because it's a time of judgment. Right? Makadosh Baruch Hu Shofet Az Et Kol HaOlam Kulo. Mizeh HaTam Nami Tiknu Chacham Lomar Pesukim Malchut Rosh Hashanah. But that's why we have a Melech HaKadosh. That's why we talk about God's kingship, right? His reign on Rosh Hashanah. And if you skip down a few lines where it's underlined, he says, "Vayotzei lanu mibrayt azeh." What does that tell us? The ain lahaskalah din rashanah vayin. Actually, you know what? Let me read what he said in the middle. Right? He quotes a sugya on rashanah davchet. Kichol kli Yisrael hu mishpat leilu hei Yaakov. Ain li elo li Yisrael. I only know that it's the time of judgment of the Jews. Umot ha'ulam. If you didn't know what that was, right? Umot ha'ulam. Right? Aleph vav hei. Umot ha'ulam. The nations of the world. Minayin, how do you know that they get judged in Rosh Hashanah? Talmud Lomar, Mishpat, Lelewe Yaakov, it is a judgment for the God of Jacob. Imkein Ma Talmud Lomar, Tichok Li Yisrael, Milamei She'in Beitin Shilamala, Nichnasin Ladin, Elam Ken Tichu Beitin Shomat Erechodesh. It teaches you the amazing power of the rabbinic court, which is God himself only decides to come and judge the Jews once the rabbis have declared it Rosh Hashanah, because since we get to declare it, right? So it's as if God, the judge of the whole world, still waits for the human court to say it's judgment day. Right? It's Rosh Hashanah, it's judgment day. And then God shows up for the proceedings. So what does he learn from this? Hayotze lanu mi brayta azo gein lahatchil hadin Rosh Hashanah veitin shalmala rak biyom lachar shikitshu beitin shalmala et hachodesh. He said, listen, what do you learn from that? Hamele hakadosh, which is a statement about God's judgment, is not a din in Yom Tov. What is it? The din in Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Specifically, what aspect of the Aseret Yemei Tshuva? The judgment part. And when does that start? During the day. During the day, because that's when? Exactly. Because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, what is it implying? It's saying God doesn't come to judge until Rosh Chodesh is declared, which means that the Mishnah Brewer, the Beis Halevi, they assume that Hamelech HaKadosh is a din in Rosh Hashanah davening. If it's a din in Rosh Hashanah davening, so then it should start when? Completely at night. But he says, no, you got it wrong. Hamelech HaKadosh is really a din in what? Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Yemei Hadin. Now, it's true that at night, does that start? Yes. But when does it really, really start? In the morning. Because what kicks off the Yemei Hadin really? The Rosh Chodesh side of Rosh Hashanah. Right? Exactly. Right? Meaning until the rabbis declare it Rosh Chodesh, which makes it Rosh Hashanah, God doesn't sit in judgment. Which means that he actually, right, so what does he argue? He argues that Hamelech HaKadosh, the Yemei Hadin, is it totally in the Yom Tov side of it? It's actually, right, what he actually says is that the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah is integrated into the Rosh Chodesh side of Rosh Hashanah, right? Because that's what the Gemara tells you. that God chooses to judge the world only when the Jews declare Rosh Chodesh, which brings the Rosh Hashanah, which means that the din side, right? The Meha din side, the fact that the day of judgment is actually contingent on the Rosh Chodesh side of Rosh Hashanah. And if that's the case, then what? Then you should say it at night, but if you don't, you don't repeat Shmoneh Esrei, just like Yalav Yavon Rosh Chodesh. Yeah? Ah, good. Good. So, what's weird here, right, is that he pins this, right, he pins this on a somewhat radical claim, which is that the rest of davening, right, let's boil down what he's saying. Right, the Binyan Shlomo is saying that, listen, for the rest of davening, what's relevant? Whether it's Yom Tov or not. For Amelech HaKadosh, what's relevant? Whether it's Yimei HaDin. And specifically, the Yom HaDin component of Rosh Hashanah is contingent on Rosh Chodesh, right? And therefore has the weird hybrid of Yalav Yavo. But you're right. But for the rest of it, not true. Right? Right? Which is a weird hybrid. Right? Why would that be true? Right? Meaning, he comes up with a weird thing. He says, on the one hand, Rosh Hashanah is Yom Tov. On the other hand, it's Rosh Chodesh plus. Which aspects of davening depend on what? HaMelech HaKadosh depends on the Rosh Chodesh side, and seemingly everything else depends on the Yom Tov side. Right? That's his huge chiddush. Seemingly. He doesn't say it explicitly, but it sounds like that. Right? Because he's saying, this is a chiddush only from Melech HaKadosh, which is not really about Rosh Hashanah. It's about Aser Yimei Tshuva, which starts on Aleph Tishrei, which is totally in the Rosh Chodesh side of Rosh Hashanah. Right? That's essentially what he says. Well, no, right, he could, right, he says this doesn't depend on Rabbeinu Yonah. Right, Rabbeinu Yonah says, maybe even if you daven a whole davening, that would be okay. Because it might not be, right? He says, that's not true. You have to daven Yom Tov davening, but you don't have to say Melech HaGadosh. Right? Right, because he poskens against the first side in Rabbeinu Yonah, but like the Chayadam. Right? Right? That's the problem, right? That was the Mishnah Berurah's problem, which was, it's all or nothing. He's saying, it's not all or nothing. You need to daven Yom Tov davening, but you don't have to say Melech HaGadosh, right? He's like, and the Mishnah Berurah said that hybrid is nonsense. He says that's not true, because Yom Tov davening is totally in the Yom Tov side of Rosh Hashanah, but Melech HaGadosh is totally in the Aleph Tishrei Rosh Chodesh side, and that has the weird hybrid of Rosh Chodesh in general, where lechatchila you say it at night, but if you don't, you don't have to repeat, right? That's a weird compromise, right? But that's the way the Binyan Shlomo takes it. Because it's all or nothing, right? Because he says Rosh Hashanah is Yom Tov. It's not Rosh Chodesh. It's Yom Tov. And therefore, there's only two possibilities. Either it's Chol or it's Yom Tov. But it's not Yom Tov without HaMelech HaKadosh, right? That's not possible. And the Binyan Shlomo says, no. It could be that on the Yom Tov side, you treat it as Yom Tov, but it's only a suffix Yom HaDin, because the Yom HaDin side is contingent on the Rosh Chodesh side of Rosh Hashanah, which always has this thing where at night, right, it's not mocking. Right? That's his weird hybrid. Now, why would you say that? Good. Why would you think that? Or, okay, you don't like it. Good. I don't like it either. Good. So who... very good. Okay. So, you skip for a second to Ramosha Sternbach, Ma'adim Uzmanim, right? He says... And until now, we've been understanding that what is the machloket here fundamentally? About the nature of the day, right? How much you look at Rosh Hashanah as Yom Tov, how much you look at it as Rosh Chodesh, the more you look at it as Yom Tov, the more you have to say everything, and it's makif, right? The more you look at it as Rosh Chodesh, the more you can talk about this, right? You should say it, but if you don't, it's okay, just like Yalav Yavo at night in Rosh Chodesh, right? But Ramosha Sternbach picks up and he says, there has to be something else going on here. Did you get that far?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So you apparently like Ramosha Sternbach. What does Ramosha Sternbach pick up on and say? Good. So what he comes in and sees, he says, listen, there's another component to this machlokas that you're missing. It's not just about the nature of the day, right? We've been talking too much about the nature of the day, but there's another question you have to ask, which is, what is the nature of the addition? Right? Right? Until now, we've just taken this equation between Yalla V'Yavo and Amelech HaKadosh, but there's a problem. Because what's the difference between Yalla V'Yavo and Amelech HaKadosh? You finish your end?
Yeah.
He says more than that. He says, listen, there are additions to Shemoneh Esrei, and there are fundamental changes to Shemoneh Esrei. Yalla V'Yavo is an addition. Amelech HaKadosh is a change. Well, that's the machlokes on it. That's exactly the point, right? Meaning, right, that the Shulchan Aruch, who says you repeat it there also, right? Right? But yes. Meaning he says, listen, there's another question you have to be asking here. And he says, when it comes to additions, so then it's possible conceptually to say what? You should add it, but if you don't, it's still Shmon Esrei. It's still the Amidah. But if something is defined not as an addition, but as
a change,
that's much harder to say. You should say it, but if you don't, big deal. Right? Right? Why? Yeah, right? It's like, Rachmana Litzlan, you're eating a cheeseless pizza, right? I know, people do that, I don't understand, right? Right? So, like, the argument is, like, look, it's still, like, you know, it's a circle of dough with, like, tomato sauce on it, and, like, you know, it's a lacking pizza, but, I mean, I guess it's okay if you're lactose intolerant to call that a pizza, I mean, we'll let you get away with it, right? But no one would look at, I would hope, at a banana and say, aha, it's a breadless, cheeseless, sauceless pizza. I mean, like, right, like, what are you talking about, right? Like, what, right, like, it's not just, what?
It's a bit of a stretch.
Right. So that's the difference between an addition and a change. He says, listen, you can say, a Shmoneh Esrei with Yalla V'Yavo is better, but a Shmoneh Esrei without a Yalla V'Yavo is still a Shmoneh Esrei, because it's an addition, right? But Hamelech HaKadosh isn't an addition to Shmoneh Esrei. It's a redefinition of what Shmoneh Esrei looks like during this time period, right? Right? It's a rewriting. So I didn't give you the Hegyone Halacha, but I'll just say it outside. But the Hegyone Halacha makes a very good point. He says, you know what? Why have we been assuming until now? I'll just say it outside, then we'll continue. He says, why have we've been assuming right now that the whole Machlokes is only about, is Rosh Hashanah Rosh Chodesh plus, or is it Yom Tov? Maybe the Machlokes is, how do you look at a Melech HaKadosh? Maybe the people who think that you always repeat Shmoneh Esrei for Hamelech HaKadosh, why do they say that? Because they think that Hamelech HaKadosh should be looked at as a rewriting of Shmoneh Esrei. And that's the case. If that's the case, you have an all or nothing. Right? If you say it, then you said the right Shmoneh Esrei. If you didn't, you said the wrong Shmoneh Esrei. Right? And the Chiddush of the Chayadam isn't really that Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh plus. What's his Chiddush? That it's essentially just an addition. Good. I think it's a nice lumdus, but it's almost impossible in the words, right? Because you remember, what was the argument of Chai Adam? That's Rosh Chodesh, right? Second of all, as Moshe says, what's the real problem? What are you talking about, right? This is not, right? It's not just an addition. I mean, how can you just say it's like a side point, right? Like, it, you almost have to say that it's a rewriting. I mean, you could, I guess, say it's not a rewriting. It's like a fancier language that means the same thing or something weird like that. Like, being a king is not so different from being hakel. I mean, if you wanted to, you could defend this, right? But it's really hard, right? Yeah.
I also understand because
you're saying that
if you're not going to put it in the motion, then during the next day, you will have to repeat it.
Correct. So,
like,
so see, so here's the thing. Is when something's an addition, when I finish, soon. It's not 12 yet. I still have 5 minutes, right? So what you would say is, listen, an addition, it could be that an addition is ma'akev, right? It just doesn't have to be, right? I mean, you can have an essential addition, right, or a non-essential addition, right? So you can't have a non-essential rewrite, right? That's essentially what you would have to say. It's like, it's an addition. Sometimes additions are also essential, right? But they don't need to be. Well, as I mentioned to you, Amel Chamishpat does not make me happy, right? Meaning, Amel Chamishpat makes me happy. The Ramaz Psakim Amel Chamishpat does not make me happy, right? It's, you know, there are certain widespread Psakim that make me not happy. That's one of them. But the Ramaz is the one who says, oh, you should say Amel Chamishpat, but if you don't, no big deal, right? That, like, on this one, I'm like, the Shulchan Aruch is obviously right. The Ramaz just drives me a little bit crazy, right? It's one of those sheets that, like, yeah, I think maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll try it. Maybe we'll do that sugya. Because it's actually a very nice little sugya. It's very little. It's not like a long sugya, but it's very easy to understand what the issue is there. Okay, but because I don't want to leave you over on this, let's just quickly, you know, since we sort of discussed all the main conceptual points, I give you one more tshuva here, where Moshe Feinstein actually does paskin, like the Chai Adam. And what does he say? What's his argument? Yeah, right. Ramosha says a very similar argument to the Binyan Shlomo. Yes, exactly. Right. Right. Ramosha says a version of a similar argument. The other thing that's just on the sheet of the Binyan Shlomo, right, which is that it's the Yom Hadin stuff, etc. A similar argument, not identical, but similar. The only thing I didn't get to is that both Reb Moshe and the Binyan Shlomo raised the question, what about on the second night? Right? Because we know that on the second night of Rosh Chodesh, as we saw, according to Tosfot, right, Lamaskana, you still don't repeat. But what about on the second night of Rosh Hashanah? So that already is less clear, right? Why is it less clear? Because the one night is the second night of Rosh Chodesh, but on the other hand, normally the second night of Rosh Chodesh is Aleph, right? This one is, right, Bet, right? Maybe that changes things, or maybe, right, Yom Tov does do enough to change the second day, right? So there it gets a little bit less clear. As you can see, the Binyan Shlomo leaves it as a Tzarach Iyun. Reb Moshe says, no, you're definitely Chozer. Why? Because if the only reason you wouldn't, because it might not be the Aseret Yemei Tshuva yet, by Bet Tishrei, it's definitely the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, right? And if HaMelech HaKadosh didn't the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, on Aleph Tishrei you may have a suffix whether it's the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, but by Bet Tishrei you have no such suffix, right? And therefore Moshe Paskins, for sure on the second night you would, even though he Paskins like the Chai Adam on the first night. Okay? Fine. We'll leave it at that because Ray Wasserman wants to start his thing. If you want, maybe we'll do the Amelech HaKadosh thing on Thursday. Amelech HaKadosh. But, what? You can hold on to them, or there should be a box of Shemos in the front if not. No, I do try to make sure there aren't actual Shemos on it. So, like, as in, names of God. Blowing the shofar for us.